Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
The first speech this year could be, hey, if we win the division, I will get a picture of Avisail Garcia tattooed on my ass.
I don't know if he wants that to happen, so we might have to talk that one out first.
Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to another edition of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and today presented to you by our friends over at SeatGeek. And today, taking a seat in a really cool setup, is the Skip, literally, of the Miami Marlins, the new manager down there in South Florida, Skip Schumacher. Congrats, man. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. It's kind of weird to hear that title by my name still, but been a crazy month, but an exciting time.
Yeah, so you're hanging out. This is not like your office in Miami right now. This better be some cool spot in your crib in Cali.
Yeah, this is just my office at home and kind of a memorabilia, you know, some stuff on the walls and some stuff that are reminded that I actually played one day. And my kids actually reminded that too.
Stop. You got almost 1,000 career hits in the show. Don't act like you were some bit player here, Schumacher.
I just rode Albert's coattails. It worked out pretty good.
Yeah, that's a long line, though. That was a lot of coattails where there were guys, you know, it was like following on Santa's sleigh. There were a bunch of dudes on that one. So you had company.
That's true. Very true.
All right. You'll give us a tour of the office in a little bit, but I want to get to the whole idea of now becoming a major league manager, because you're one of 30 walking the planet. When was the first time you thought, hey, this is something I want to do?
Yeah, a few years ago, I was interviewed by a couple teams. And at the time, I was a first base coach. And I knew what the bench coach role was, but I needed to be in that seat first. And after taking those interviews, I was kind of preparing for the wrong stuff. I was looking up and down organizations and trying to figure out what's wrong, what's right. And honestly, I wasn't asked any questions about the current state of their organization. It was more about my leadership qualities and my non-negotiables, what I believed in. And so I kind of started thinking, you know, the next few years, okay, if I did get this opportunity, what would it look like if I was in that seat? Luckily, the following year after I had those interviews, I got promoted in San Diego to be the bench coach and then associate manager, which is pretty much the same thing. And luckily, I got to learn how to navigate a game with, you know, the staff around me and players asking some real questions during the game. And, you know, at the time, had a rookie manager. And so we were trying to figure it out together. I don't think if I got those jobs a couple years ago, one of those jobs a couple years ago, I would have ever... I probably would have been fired within a year. I just was not ready. So luckily I got to be in this seat and then in that bench coach seat. And then last year was incredible in St. Louis. And I knew I was finally ready if given the opportunity.
But did you ever think about it as a player? Were you watching Tony La Russa do his thing and you were like, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah. You know, you never want to be a bench player as a player, right? But being a bench player, I got to see how Tony managed the game, how prepared he was. I knew when I had to be ready because he told me before the game kind of lanes that he saw me fitting in. And as a player, all you wanted to do is know where you're at, right? How can you use me today and not be surprised? I saw how he had relationships with his staff. I saw how he treated the superstar versus the 25th man on the roster. So I was watching intently every single day of how he did it. I also watched Don Mattingly and how he did it. So I had some really good managers to learn from, and being a bench player actually helped. I didn't realize it at the time, but it actually helped.
What's the biggest challenge for a guy like you who has never been in the manager seat?
I feel like a few things. I think the media component. You know, you're being interviewed after every single game about, you know, what you did right or wrong, and, you know, what the players might have did right or wrong. Did you put them in a good situation or not? And why did you do certain moves? I think that's going to be the biggest difference as far as the preparation and the relationships. you know, I've kind of done that my whole career. Like, I really believe in the good organizations have really good people around them and are supported by, you know, are relationship based. St. Louis was that way. I was lucky enough to be drafted by that organization and grew up there and as a professional. And I kind of take a lot of those experiences into, you know, what I'm going to bring this year. But, you know, as far as the biggest difference, Chris, I think it's a lot of it's the media component after the games.
Well, listen, I've heard you talk now for 5 minutes. First time we've chatted. You got this part down because I can tell you we are not very smart.
I've watched you for a lot of years. You do a good job of teeing it up for me. So, but thanks.
Come on, dude. I mean, between me and Millar, are you kidding? I mean, we'll stare at a light bulb all day and try and figure out how to unscrew that thing the right way. That's how it used to work back in the day. All right, guys. Sometimes it's time for you to step up to the plate and your bat don't work as well as you'd like it to. I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about your sex life. In fact, up to 50% of men have symptoms that get in the way of wanting to enjoy sex in a better way. And by the way, doesn't mean you go into the corner, you cry your eyes out, and you say, I'm done with this stuff. It means you get back in the game. And Roman is here to help. Roman is the digital health clinic for men. It addresses a variety of sexual health needs, offers genuine medication that helps achieve and maintain a stronger erection. That means you and that someone special in your life have a better time in the bedroom. And that is such an important part of life. Roman offers discreet wipes that help you last four times longer in bed. Not once, not twice, not three. Four times longer. Now, in men with low T, getting testosterone levels back to normal can help increase your libido. And Roman offers a testosterone test, which includes lab processing. And if it's appropriate for you, treatment for low testosterone as well. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to go to a doctor's office. You don't have to go to a pharmacy. There's no waiting rooms. There's no hassle. It's just straightforward digital experience from the comfort of your own home. If medication or testing is appropriate, Roman will send it directly right to your front door. Everything arrives in discreet packaging with free two-day shipping. Now, to learn more about how you can achieve your personal sexual health goals, just go to ro.co/rose today to get 20% off your entire first order. You're saving 20% and you're going to feel better about yourself. That is ro.co/rose. Believe me, you'll have a big smile on your face and so will that someone special in your life. You've got quite a challenge ahead of you. You know that. You're joining a team that's been to the playoffs essentially one time since they won it all in 2003. You're in a division with the defending National League champions. You're in a division where two other teams that didn't advance each won 101 games. And you've got a roster that was hitting deficient. I watched a lot of Marlins baseball last year. It wasn't pretty offensively. How do you change things? And I don't want to hear the whole culture thing because I've heard that, you know, for 50 years.
I do think culture matters. I mean, I think a large part of what happened last year was injuries. You had Jazz with a couple hundred at bats, not 600 at bats. You had Soler with a couple hundred at bats, not 500 plus at bats. And you look up and down the roster, we weren't healthy and our depth was probably tested more than anybody. In St. Louis, we didn't have really anybody, hardly anybody on the DL. The top five teams that didn't have, you know, as far as the DL stints that, you know, players worked on the DL, St. Louis is number four. The Marlins were 26, I think. So we had a lot of DL days and on the position player side was just tested. You're right. The division is nasty. Like, I mean, the Mets are really, really good. They're not going away. The Braves, for my money, last year and facing all the teams were the best team that we faced. And we only faced them six or seven games, but that was the toughest seven games that we had to prepare for and faced last year. And then you look at the Phillies were in the World Series. So I get it. And the Nationals are, you know, they're coming back. So I totally understand where we're at. I will say that as an opposing player and coach, nobody wanted to face our rotation. That was not a fun time to face Sandy and Pablo and Luzardo and Rogers. It just was not fun. Do I think that we have, I think Donnie left me in a really good spot as far as the pitching side and the offensive side, I think, is there. It's just we have to stay healthy and we have to grow. Culture does matter, Chris. I hate to break it to you. It really, I truly believe that. And hiring a staff around me that holds these guys accountable every single day was the most important part of my offseason so far. I needed guys that were going to hold them to a high standard and expect to win and what winning looks like every single day, and to teach them what winning looks like. I think there's a lot of organizations that have done a really good job of that. And how do you be sustainable every single year? St. Louis has 15 straight winning seasons. That's incredible. And it's something that, like, you know, I'm surrounding myself with guys that know what winning looks like, and hopefully that can, you know, bleed into the players a little bit.
Okay. Fair. You all right. You made me change my mind a little bit. I'm a culture guy now. I'm on board. I dig it. I am going to tell you this, that you're getting one of the best humans ever as your shortstop. You know, Miguel Rojas is a part of our John Boy Media family here at the Chris Rose Rotation. Have you had a chance to chat with Miggy?
Oh yeah. I went down to Florida and had, he was one of the guys I had lunch with, and I've known him since the LA days when I was over there. So yeah, he's a phenomenal person and obviously a really good shortstop.
And if you want to get on his good side, just buy him a pair of Jordans. It doesn't matter if it's a duplicate, because when you go to his house, if you go check out his new crib, and he just moved into a palatial estate, that's what all these rich guys do. His room, like, you've got all the jerseys and stuff. He's just got a room and a wall full of Jordans. He's got like 200 pair. Every road trip, wherever, if you guys go on a 3-city road trip, he's going to get a pair in each city.
So all I wear since I've been coaching is Jordans, and I've been a Jordan guy for a long, long time. So yeah, I'm all about Miggy. I know what he wears. I see it from afar, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he gets all these ones that I've never seen before.
Okay, so what's your favorite pair? What's your go-to? What's your go-to dad pair?
Yeah, Jordan 4s and Jordan 11s are my favorite numbered Jordans. It's what I wear most often. My daughter has a shoe. She's a freak as well. She's 13. She wears all Jordan 1s and Jordan 4s. My son wears Jordan 1s, but I like the 4s and the 11s the best.
Okay, nice. This can't be easy on your family. Are you guys moving? Because you're a California kid. You know, you grew up out here. You went to college at UC Santa Barbara. The whole bit, you spend your off seasons out there. I can't imagine it's easy to uproot a family. Is that what you plan on doing?
Yeah, it's challenging. Last year was the first year that I was away from them. They were always with me during a season. And then the last 6 years, I've been in San Diego. So I commuted every day from Orange County. So last year was the first year to see if we can do this as a family where I'm in a different state and, you know, we can handle this. They came out every 2 weeks. My son's a pretty good little baseball player. He's a freshman now in high school. My daughter is in seventh grade, but he flew on his own. He came out, took BP, took ground balls with Nolan, hit with Goldschmidt. I mean, there's some stuff there that you can remember forever. And just created these memories, right? When I was a player and he came to the field, he doesn't remember when he was 8 years old taking BP in the outfield. I remember it, but he doesn't remember it. Now he really remembers this stuff. And it was probably the best year as a family during the season we've ever had, which selfishly I was gone and I was missing them a ton, but they were so stoked and so excited to be out there that it really worked out. So I signed a 1-year deal in St. Louis with two options to see if, and John Mozeliak was amazing. I just was honest. I didn't know what to expect. I might just do it for a year and come home because I couldn't do it. But immediately, you know, I knew right away I was going to come back. When he asked in September, I'm like, yeah, my family loves it. This is definitely the way to go until the Miami thing happened. So when that happened, I was looking for this sign of like, do I go across country? This is literally the furthest away from California, right? Mm-hmm. And when I was doing these interviews, I got nothing. There was no sign telling me like, I got to go to Miami, until I got the phone call and Kim said, you know, would you like to be the manager of the Miami Marlins? And my son like jumped up, fist pumped, and then grabbed my wife. And I knew it was like, that's the sign I needed. Instead of saying like, Kim, give me 24 hours or whatever, I got to really think about this with my family. that's what I needed right there. So that was a really special moment for us. So they'll come out during the summer. My son is in the travel system, plays baseball, the whole deal. Luckily, there's some good tournaments in Florida during the summer. He'll play with Matt Holliday's team. Matt Holliday's son's team, Ethan, will be a number one pick here pretty soon in a couple of years as well. So that will be a fun experience for him, and they'll come to the field. My daughter loves saying that, you know, her dad's, you know, a big leaguer, and, you know, the seats that she gets to sit in, and she plays travel soccer and that whole scene. So yeah, it's going to be challenging. My wife being a single mom and wife while I'm here, while I'm in Miami, but, you know, she's pretty strong, and we know we can do it.
Good. I wish you luck. I know that's not easy, especially being a rookie manager in the show. The thing we don't think about as fans, we don't ever think, what impact does this have on the players' lives, the coaches' lives, the manager's life? So we don't think about that, of you being 3,000 miles away. I hate it when I have to go on a 4-day road trip from my family, and my kids are 22 and 17. So I sympathize with you, and I wish you luck with it. I really do.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's real. That's real. I mean, there's a lot of broken families because of the sports world, and baseball might be the toughest, right? Because how long the season is. So it's challenging. So, you know, I was told bloom where you're planted by a couple of my buddies back home. And, I really take that to heart. Like wherever I am, I'm going to try to, you know, be the best version I can be in Miami or wherever, but I also want to be present with my kids. So I've told Kim and I told Mo back in St. Louis, I'm always going to have my phone on me. So if my daughter calls, I'm picking it up. Now, when at the 7 o'clock game to the 10 o'clock, you're not getting, I'm gone. But I will be present in the you know, FaceTime and everything has been great. So we've figured it out.
I love to hear that. Good. More of the show coming your way. But first, I want to talk to you about big time business. That's right. You know, all those baseball cards you used to keep down in your basement when you were a kid? Well, now they're worth something yet again. And CSG, I want to tell you about this great company. It's an expert and impartial third-party authentication and grading service for sports cards. After grading sports cards, they're encapsulated in archival, durable, and crystal clear CSG holders to protect and preserve, much like this one. I got my Bo Bichette card in here, so I feel great about it. Now, every CSG certified sports card is backed by the CSG guarantee of authenticity and grade, which is the strongest in the entire industry. In fact, collectors know that they can buy and sell with peace of mind when a card is in a CSG holder because its authenticity and its condition are guaranteed. Look at this thing. It's like it just came out of the package. CSG consistently has the best turnaround times and pricing among leading third-party sports card grading services. And right now, prices are 20% off for grading. The promo code ROSE gets you 15% off your yearly membership. The offer expires at the end of this month, December 31st, 2022. So grade your sports cards with CSG. Get $15 off of yearly memberships with the promo code ROSE at csgcards.com. You can look as clean as this. How old are you?
42.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're the youngest looking 42-year-old. If you had told me 28, I would have been like, yeah, I'm signing up for that. So you're in the cool dad stage. I haven't done the research. I am going to guess you are the first major league manager with a full arm sleeve tattoo.
I think so. Yeah. You know, I got a tattoo every single off season of my career. That was like my thing, right? I didn't think I'd still be here after 2001 in professional baseball. And so I kind of like, there's not much room left. Right. So I kind of kept going down. My mom hates tattoos. So like, starting to go below the sleeve was a little bit of a, you know, dicey situation there for Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks. But yeah, I kept going, and, you know, they ended up being like super meaningful tattoos. It wasn't just like some tribal band. So I have like, you know, a picture of my kids, first picture of me and the last out of the World Series in 2011, picture of my kids. So they all mean something. It's not just some like random star or whatever on my arm.
So, you know, maybe the first speech this year could be, hey, if we win the division, I will get a picture of Avisail Garcia tattooed on my ass.
I don't know if he wants that to happen. So we might have to talk that one out first.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah. You had a front row seat to history this year as the bench coach in St. Louis. For a guy who played alongside Albert Pujols all those years, and to see his renaissance and the rejoining of, you know, a player and a franchise that maybe a divorce never should have happened, but whatever, it happened for a decade, and he comes back and finished the way he finished. Did you get the goosies?
I did. I wouldn't say I've worded it like that, the goosies, but it was a surreal year, honestly. Like I didn't know going into this that we were going to have Albert until late in spring training. Stuff happened in spring where we identified we need a right-handed bat that could hit lefties. And there he was, right? I contacted Mark McGuire in the offseason, kind of asked, you know, hey, you know, what's he look like? Because he lives right by him in Irvine. He's like, hey, dude, this guy is, he's still got it. I was like, all right. You know, so I relayed to Ollie starts talking to him. And, you know, we signed him. The first couple months, was tough. It was tough on Ollie. It was tough on me. It was tough on us when we're pinch hitting Albert Pujols against a righty. I mean, that was not easy when he's on deck and a bullpen guy, you know, that's throwing 98 from the right-hand side is coming in, and, you know, Ollie, a rookie manager as well, is like, you know, calling him back, and we're pinch hitting him for, you know, a lefty. And, you know, hit, both of us look at each other like, God, man, what are we doing? This is crazy, right? But, you know, at the time, you know, the numbers and, you know, what Albert, you know, last couple of years against righties, the numbers, they just weren't great. You know, that's just what it was. And Albert, to his credit, was on board. Hey, whatever you think is going to help us win, you do what you need to do. And I think that gave Ollie, like, okay, a deep breath. So if I have to do it, I can call him back. It still was not easy. Fast forward, we go to about the All-Star break, or right before the All-Star break, we're in Atlanta. Albert makes a couple of adjustments, and all of a sudden the ball's coming off the bat, kind of like 2011 days, right? I'm like, hang on, what's going on? So he said, hey, I made a couple of adjustments. I feel really good. I'm like, all right. Well, about a week before that, he finds out that he's going to the Home Run Derby. So a lot of times players can tell you, oh yeah, no, I'm feeling great, but they're trying to convince themselves that they're feeling great when actually looking at you, you look terrible. Well, actually Albert now gets to figure out if this thing is working or not in a Home Run Derby. And it kind of ignited him like, hey, can I still do this thing in a derby in a big setting? I think that derby just rejuvenated him and like, hey, watch what I can do. That's what it should look like as far as, you know, everybody embracing who this guy was. And it was really a special moment watching that Home Run Derby. If that week didn't happen, he never told me this, I'm not sure we see Albert like the rest of the year. I don't know, because he just was not feeling like he was helping the team, right? He was in a weird spot, right? Like just mentally, physically, because he's used to being Albert, right? I mean, this is the best right-handed hitter ever. And I know that I'm going to get crap for that, and that's okay, because I've seen him do it in huge, high leverage situations over and over and over again. So that's my always take on Albert. So then he comes back after the All-Star break, and it's like, what the hell just happened? Like, it is just like, he's back. Whatever the adjustment that he made is now like short, right to the ball. He's always had his strength. And now I'm just like, I can hit righties, I can hit lefties. And we couldn't get this guy out of the lineup. And honestly, if he wasn't on our team, I'm not sure we make that run, you know, and bypass Milwaukee without Albert in that lineup, because that's, you know, that month of September, you know, Goldie didn't have the best month ever, even though he won the MVP. And, you know, Nolan was always great. But the rest of the guys were doing their thing, but we didn't have that like consistent, just like, hey, we need a three-run home run right here. just like in 2011, Albert, yeah, go ahead and do it real quick for us. You know, we don't have that. We didn't have that guy, right? And so all of a sudden he was Albert Pujols again, and I'm so happy. I'm getting goosies thinking about it right now.
Told you.
Watching him do what he did, because if anybody deserves that in front of his family in LA, the whole deal, I mean, you just could not have scripted it any better.
I'm going to tell you this. The reason I enjoyed it the most wasn't, first of all, I love watching history as a baseball junkie. We're not going to see another guy hit 700 home runs. So the fact I was able to see it one more time was amazing. I loved it because I've been around Albert Pujols. And the thing that makes him so great is he is singularly focused like few people I've ever seen. And I always wonder when guys who are great, if they can appreciate the moment when it's happening. And I think that most of them don't. I think he appreciated everything about this last season.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, you are 100% spot on. The way he handled himself, the teammates, the media, the home run derby. I mean, he was always so happy to come to the field, to be around Yadi again and Wainwright again, and really come back home and do what he did. And you know how St. Louis is, man. They embraced me as a 25th guy. Like the Albert, I mean, he's a god there. And the way what he does on and off the field. But you're right. He enjoyed every moment, and how much he respects the game, and the game just like, okay, here you go, Albert. It was just an unbelievable moment.
Hey, all you Rose Rotation listeners, this time of year, everyone's excited about the gifts, the holiday spirit, but what about all the basketball? When I throw down on the NBA action, it's gotta be with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can combine multiple bets for bigger payouts with DraftKings same game parlays. SGPs are where you gotta be. I can't stress that enough, people. Maryland sports fans too, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. That's huge. Let's go, Terps. Download the app now to get in on the holiday hoops action. Sign up with the code ROSE and place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code ROSE. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Now back to the show.
You mentioned Adam Wainwright. For people that aren't familiar with the story, you guys are very close. When you were a coach in San Diego, rumor had it, you ordered room service to him at 6 a.m., which is about 13 hours before first pitch on a given day. He then proceeded to get you back by stealing your street clothes and putting Wainwright sewn into your shirt. Not a jersey, a shirt that you then had to wear home with the number 50 planted on your ass. Where does the back and forth of the practical joke situation sit right now?
I think we're even, because I got him back. It started before the room service thing. I mean, it's been going on for years. I got him back again. I put decals. I had one of our auto guys in St. Louis. His name is Joe Clemens. He gets cars for the guys. Anyway, he got decals on, you know, like the Gator wraps or whatever. I got a picture of Wainwright with a shake weight, and he had it on Twitter, right? So I put it on the both sides of his car, front and back, with his email address. And if you want a workout, please contact Adam Wainwright at... And you couldn't get it off unless you had a heat gun, right? Like it's not a sticker. You had to literally, so he had it for a week driving around. He had one car in St. Louis. His wife had the other one. So that's what he's driving. So he's pulling up and everyone has his email. I might have taken it a touch too far on that one. But dude, I mean, I had to go on a plane with it was a nice outfit with Wainwright 50 and then 50 again on my slacks all the way back to California. So I feel like we're even now. But the thing about Adam is he has way more money and resources than I do.
Yes.
So, I mean, there could be all kinds of things happening and coming my way. So I got to be really careful.
If I were you, I would hire security detail for your one series in St. Louis. Have them debug that office because God knows what is going to appear in there.
No, that's true. But yeah, I love that guy. It's been a fun 15 years or so doing these prank wars with him.
You want to hear the worst prank one I've heard between a manager and one of his former players?
What do you got?
Oh, God. I had heard that a player, and I'm not going to name who it was, who used to play for Terry Francona, had a bag of shit delivered to him. What is the matter with you baseball players? You guys are perpetually 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh. I'm hoping Waino doesn't go that far. I'm really hoping he doesn't hear this anytime soon. I don't put anything past him. He's got all kinds of kids and diapers and whatever. So I'm just I'm hoping he doesn't hear this.
All I can tell you is do not order Postmates in St. Louis, because if it shows up, you're like, oh, yeah, I ordered that. I did good not call. Order this.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
You played college ball at UC Santa Barbara. And for people who are not familiar with the West Coast, it is literally a school that is right on the Pacific Ocean. I have had a ton of friends who are gauchos. That's not going to college. Okay. You cannot wake up and look out at the ocean and be like, man, this is some tough sledding, because I've got like AP bio today or my pre-constitutional law class or something. How the heck did you didn't go to class, did you?
It was a grind, man. It was so tough going. I think the challenge was, at the time we didn't have the facilities like there is now. Like Andrew Checkett's there now, has done an amazing job, put a lot of money. There's been a lot of sponsors. I had Bob Bronsma, who's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to recruit there. Right. I mean, you can imagine, going to the beach and then from the beach wearing the same outfits, you're going to class, right? I mean, it was a very fun time for me going to school. The baseball side was really good too, because we weren't good until our class kind of came in, a bunch of transfers. Mm-hmm. I was a transfer. And, Fullerton, for people that don't know, Fullerton is really good in baseball. Long Beach State's really good in baseball, especially at the time. They were like the dominant. It was dominant. And then we ended up winning that year in 2001. And it was just a great ride. But Santa Barbara is just, I mean, Oprah lives there, right? I mean, she can live anywhere she wants. Mm-hmm. Oprah lives there. I mean, it's a pretty magical place, and just very lucky that that's where I'm an alum.
Have you knocked on Oprah's gate? Oprah, I had Skip. You're your big Marlins fan.
Yeah, I haven't yet. But yeah, maybe when I go up to the alumni game in January, maybe I'll stop by. I don't know if I'll get in. She might not be there, though. That's probably the reason why. Yeah.
Where? What position are you going to play at the alumni game?
Coach.
I'll be no. Coach. No. You're going to be doing that for 162 this year, plus spring training. You're 42. I told you, you look 28. Get your butt out there. I don't care how the arm's feeling or anything. We could at least put you at second.
Yeah, no, I mean, God, you didn't want me at second in my prime. So there's no way they want me second right now when I'm 42 years old. So, I think Michael Young will be there, and he's a good buddy of mine. So I'm just lucky to go back and, maybe have a few drinks and enjoy those guys again. And again, Santa Barbara felt like a vacation for the 2 years I was there. So I'm going to enjoy that part of it.
Okay, I got it. I hope this doesn't happen, but it's inevitable during 162 games, is that at some point you're going to get blown out. You're going to have to save your pitching, and you're going to have to use one of your position players to throw, which is something that you happen to do a few times in your major league career. Now, some guys really embrace it and want to do it, and they get out there and they're like, holy shit, am I 10 feet away from the hitter right now? Were you scared? Were you excited? What was it?
I was both. Yeah. I mean, I embraced it because, I mean, I got to pitch on Dodgers, you know, on the mound at Dodger Stadium. That's where I grew up watching games as a kid. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is where Oral, you know, was on the mound, you know? So I embraced it. I was really excited to do it. But then like Nolan Arenado gets up, or, you know, like some like dudes that are for whatever reason are still in the game. And I'm like, this is not fun at all. It's way too close. So then you're just trying to get the hell out of there, you know, as fast as you can. You know, you don't want the guys behind you still on the field. They're like trying to get this game over with. They're definitely not as excited as you are that you're on the mound. So, yeah, I embraced it. You know, I just felt so bad the next 2 days because I tried to like get guys out for the first like 10 pitches. And I completely regret that. But like your ego gets in the way and the adrenaline gets up there. But man, it like you're sore. Being on the slope is just different. And but yeah, I embraced it. Do I love when position players, you know, this year we had position players on the mound when we were winning. So we had Albert and Yadi pitching when we were winning. So so that's kind of it was a different spin. I was like, well, hey, you know, Ollie and I were talking. Teams save their pitching all the time when they're losing. Like, why don't we save it when we're up 12? Like, what's the difference? And so that kind of changed a little bit this year. And, you know, seeing, you know, Albert throw to Yadi was pretty incredible. And Yadi throwing to Albert, you know, before the inning started was, you know, another highlight that I never thought I'd ever see.
Did you give Yadi a little shit? Because I mean, that guy's had such a gun behind the dish. I wanted to see him just air one out.
I didn't. No, I as a coach, I didn't want to see. No, I wanted Yadi to be behind the plate the next day, and I just wanted him to be able to check that off his list and not get hurt. So the fact that he didn't air one out, I was totally okay with it.
Okay, fair enough. What do you have behind you? Do you have, like, what's the one piece of memorabilia you would say, hey, you want to see this thing?
Yeah, so can you see above the –
yeah,
like the very top. So those are Kobe's shoes, autographed. So Kobe Bryant's shoes autographed.
That, dude, go grab those so that we can grab a closer look. If those are mobile, let's see those. Yeah. Oh yes. Okay, those are awesome.
Yeah. So there's a glare on there, but
that's all right.
Yeah.
Where'd we get those?
So Albert would have all these golf tournaments, his charity, Albert Big Down Syndrome, has a foundation for Down Syndrome, supporting Down Syndrome. And so he'd have these superstars there all the time, right? During one of the off days in St. Louis. And so people would donate some memorabilia there for like auction items. And you would, and they, I got these probably 2005 or six, seven, somewhere around there, just as an auction item. And I was just, you know, LA guy, big Kobe Bryant fan. Like he was the guy right here. And so that was like, I don't care how much, well, I kind of care how much, but I, you know, I was going to get those at the auction. And so that was like been my prized possession, you know, ever since. Just, and then obviously everything that happened was horrible, but yeah, that's like my favorite thing in the room so far. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I had heard that, you know, during the 2011 World Championship run, you know, the rally squirrel made that whole thing. And then you, of course, were in the batter's box and, you know, we all had fun with it. We had fun with it on Intentional Talk the whole bit. And then they freaking made your baseball card of your foot with rally squirrel. And that was your baseball card. Did it piss you off or were you like, okay, I'm good with it?
You got to be known for something, right? So the Topps, I think, this is what they told me at least at the time. It's the only card without a face on it of a player. So every Topps baseball card has the player's face expression, something. That's the only one without one. So that's why it became kind of a rare card, because it's literally my name with a squirrel, you know, jumping, either over my foot, in between my legs. I don't remember. I think it's went in front of me. But yeah, so that kind of, you know, obviously that took a leg, you know, it was a crazy time and we won because of the squirrel, right? I mean, that's how funny that all happened. But every year there's something, right? Baby shark with para, like there's always something. That's the reason why people won. But I think that, you know, something the fans can latch onto, and Octavio Dotel wore like a squirrel hat every day. I mean, it was ridiculous. But yeah, I have a squirrel card here somewhere in my room, and, yeah, I mean, that's kind of funny how that all happened.
I can only imagine what your emotions were like during game 6 of the, World Series that year. Because I was pulling double duty. I was working for Intentional Talk, but I was also the host of the Fox pregame show. So it was my job to do the trophy presentation afterward. So the Rangers had a 3-2 series lead. I am behind the wall in right field as we're getting ready to bust out with the trophy. And I'm with 30 of St. Louis's finest behind the wall, peering through a crack in the wall, watching David Freese hit a ball right toward me. Nelson Cruz misses it, and he ends up getting the triple, ties the game. We go to extras. I have to run back to the set, which is up in the pavilion in center field. So my fat ass is running back up there in a suit. I get up there, like Hamilton hits a homer or something and knocks in a run. I have to run back down. Then Lance Berkman, I think, ties the game in the next inning.
Yep.
And I have to run back up. And thankfully, David Freese hits a homer, and we all go home and have game 7 the next day. What was it like just to be around that atmosphere on that day?
Yeah. So I started that game, and got double switched. I think we used our entire bench that game, right? I mean, it was crazy. I think we used our entire bench by like the 8th inning, and we were kind of running out of guys, honestly. Like if it kept going, I don't know who that pinch hitter would have been, you know, if that spot came up. I mean, that's where we kind of were. That inning goes, you know, Neftali was the best closer in the game at that point, right? I mean, these games are over when he's in the game. So when he goes on the mound, I was on the bench next to Tony, and Tony's not going to admit this, but this really happened. He might admit it now, but he just wanted to make sure that we all stayed to make sure we acknowledge the fans when the game's over. So that's where we were, right? And obviously things happen, and we watch, you know, this game, just like you said, just crazy run of emotions of, you know, Freeze hits the triple. Jason Mott comes in, our lockdown closer. Hamilton hits a home run. You know, you see the other side going crazy. And then obviously Freeze or Berkman, home run or base hit off, I think it was Feldman maybe. And then obviously the home run, but, I think the wave of emotions on both sides, our dugout was make sure to wave to the fans, thanking them for an unbelievable season, when the game's not over yet. I mean, that's kind of what we thought of Neftali at the time. And then, you know, David Freese, I mean, he'll have a statue there in front of St. Louis at some point because of, everything that happened. Michael Young, I think I mentioned before, is, you know, one of my good buddies, love him to death. He was on the Rangers, played first base during that time. I had him sign me a bat in this case. It's over here. It says, you know, to Skip, you know, blah, blah, best wishes. And it said underneath, P.S., stick that 11 ring right up your ass. And that's one of my favorite bats I have signed by somebody on my team. So, you know, I just still can't believe it. You know, Berkman will text me every now and then, hey, remember when we won that World Series? It just doesn't make any sense how we accomplished that. But it's something that I'll never forget.
Awesome. Well, I hope that you create some new memories in Miami. Before we let you go, we're going to spin the wheel of moderately interesting things. Don't worry. It's very simple. I'm not that smart. The questions are simple.
All right.
Crushing it. This is always a fun one. Your first celebrity crush. Who was it?
First celebrity crush. Carmen Electra.
Whoa. Good one.
Oh, yeah. So that, you know, the Baywatch days, my dad played on, or not played, worked at LA County Beaches and Harbors. And he was the chief of safety and sanitation. Safety part was the lifeguards. The lifeguard part was he rented out or leased out the Baywatch boats. But at the time, I was not old enough to really enjoy that experience. I wish I was a few years older to really get that experience, the full experience. But yeah, Carmen Electra was the first kind of crush.
Rumor has it she's a big Marlins fan.
My wife probably doesn't really care for that crush as much, but it was, you know, it was years ago, right?
It's funny because in our lines of work, sometimes you run into your celebrity crushes. Like, you know, when I used to host Bet Stam, I had one of my celebrity crushes on the show, and my wife would always be like, listen, if she even gives you a second look, go for it. You got no shot. You know, so I said, you're right.
Yeah. There you go.
This was great. I really appreciate the time today and I wish you the best of luck. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know there's a lot of challenges ahead, but it certainly sounds like you are up to task. So thanks for checking in. Hopefully we can check in during the season as well.
Yeah. Anytime. I love doing this with you, Chris. So again, I'm a huge fan for years and I appreciate you having me on.
Now, I appreciate the time and thanks to everybody for joining us once again for our one-of-a-kind producer, the legendary Robbie Scirocco, and the Marlins' new skipper, Skip Schumacher, whose real name I believe is Jared, if I'm not
mistaken. Got it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that next time. I am Chris Rose. We will see you here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.